This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray, shall we, as we come to look at God's word together. Father, we want to praise you and thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was truly dead on the cross, that he truly rose from the dead and was seen bodily alive by many witnesses. Thank you that he has ascended into heavenly glory and now reigns the universe and sends his Holy Spirit so that we might understand who he is and what he's done. So, Father, please send your Holy Spirit this morning. Help me as I speak. Help us all as we listen. For Christ's glory. Amen. Amen. Well, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Boys and girls ask questions like this. How do I know that God is there when I cannot see him? I don't know if you're a parent here this morning, you've had that question asked of you. Grown-ups ask, hasn't science disproved God? And we're told by the media world we live in to live for stuff, things that we can see. The next film, the next Xbox game, the next YouTube clip that goes viral, the next Facebook post, and that's just us as grown-ups. Are we surprised that we are bombarded by so many messages that live for what you see, we end up doubting? Because we can't see God. We can't see the risen Lord Jesus. But the wonderful, joyful news of this day is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be disproved by science. It is an event that happened in history, that was witnessed, that can be experienced even this morning by us. Now, as we go on this morning, I'm hoping that the boys and girls might respond to questions that I ask. And the questions are particularly about these two words, saw and words. And I have a few cream eggs here, if anybody can answer the questions. And at the end of the service, AJ will be giving out some more to those who can answer these questions. Just two words this morning, saw and words. You see, the disciples had thought that Jesus was God's son, but he died. And they were frightened and they were locked up in a room. And then Jesus stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands where the nails had been. And he showed them his side where the spear had been put up into his ribcage to make sure that he was dead. And they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. They were overjoyed that they'd seen him. They'd seen him alive. Other gospels tell us that he ate some fish. They touched him. He was bodily alive. But we may think, did it really happen? Did it really happen? Well, if we were to read John's gospel from the beginning to the end, we'll have heard John record that Jesus claimed to have come down from heaven, that he wasn't one who was born just on earth. He had already existed in heaven for an eternity and he came into this world. And he lived a life on the earth in which he did so many miracles. He raised dead people. He cured blind people. He fed 5,000 people just at a word. But then he had died on the cross. He'd come down into earth, but he died in agony on the cross. And he claimed to be dying on the cross to take the punishment for the sins of people like you and me. John describes him as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that takes the judgment of God in our place. Just like in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the Lamb freed the people from Egypt. So Jesus came to be the sacrifice that frees people from this world of death and judgment. And we saw on Good Friday, didn't we, that the Roman soldiers had put a spear up into his heart to make sure that he was really dead. It's a bit like the modern day equivalent of a gun to the head to make sure somebody's dead. They made sure he was dead. And then he was laid in a tomb. If you're doubting what this is up here, this is supposed to be Golgotha. I know it's not very good art. But this is the tomb here with a stone. And the stone would have been held here and it would have gone down a groove and been put there. So they put the body in the tomb and then a stone over the tomb. Jesus' friends thought that he was dead. They'd seen the tomb where they had laid him. But then early on Sunday morning, some women came and they found that the stone weighing several tons had just been thrown away. And John and Peter ran and they went into the tomb and they found that the body was not there. The body had gone. And then later on that same day, the disciples were still confused and bewildered and they'd gathered in a room and they'd locked all the doors for fear of people who might kill them. And yet Jesus appeared bodily in front of them. And here's the first word. They saw him. They saw him alive. Mary Magdalene saw him alive. The disciples saw him alive. But you know what? Of all the days not to be with the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. He missed it. Now, this is the first thing we learn this morning. Thomas saw Jesus alive. And I'll ask you in a few moments. Look with me at verse 24. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." He was the ultimate angry skeptic, wasn't he? He's not going to believe when he wasn't there to see it. So how is Thomas going to believe? The only way Thomas is going to believe is if he saw these things. So look at verse 27. "Peace be with you," Jesus says. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." See, Jesus is such a kind Savior. He appears just for Thomas so that Thomas can believe. So, boys and girls, why did Thomas believe that Jesus was alive? Can anybody tell me? Hands up. Anybody tell me why Thomas believed? Yeah?
Because he saw him.
Because he saw him. Brilliant. Well done. Can anybody else tell me why it was that Thomas believed? Maybe somebody up on the balcony. Why did Thomas believe? Anybody have a guess? Yeah, somebody there at the top? Yeah? He saw him. Now, do you think you can catch? It's coming up. I'm not sure whether health and safety quite allows that. Anybody else tell me why it was that Thomas believed? That's right. He could have, couldn't he? It's a surprise that Thomas doesn't actually do what he wanted to do. He doesn't actually put out his hand. We know that the disciples touched Jesus and they hugged him and they ate food with him. But he saw him, didn't he? His seeing him was enough. Now, maybe we're quite skeptical here this morning. Maybe as Christians we doubt regularly because we're not quite sure that this actually happened. We have a historical account written by the people who were there. We know that. You can read the scholarship if you want to, or I can give you the books that show it to be true. The people who were there, who saw Jesus dead, who saw Jesus alive again, have written it down so that we too may believe. John says that a little later on. But still we might be saying, it's not enough for me. I mean, Thomas exclaims, doesn't he, if you look at the passage, "My Lord and my God." This is personal. This is deeply personal for Thomas. He knows that if Jesus has been raised from the dead, he must be his Lord, his God. Jesus now calls the shots. He can no longer go on living for whatever he wants to live. He must live for this one who is Lord and God and has proved it right before him. And so because we know the stakes are very, very high and the cost of being a Christian may well be very great for us, though not as great as in some countries, we want a little bit more. But you see, Thomas is rebuked by Jesus. Do you see that in verse 27? He says to Thomas, "Stop doubting." and believe. Or literally, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Why? Well, because people like you and I, the way that we believe, the way that we have new eternal life by the living God, the only true God, is by words. Spiritual words. Words of the Holy Spirit. And that's our second point. We believe, people like you and I, believe by words. See, more was going on with Thomas than just him seeing. If that's all it was, then we'd be right to think, well, I want to see now today that, you know, if Thomas was given a resurrection appearance of a bodily Jesus right in front of him, and that's why he believed, well, I'd quite like the same. Thank you very much, God. But Thomas should have believed before that. Have a look at verse 21. It's why we had it read a little earlier on. And it's particularly for the skeptics amongst us or the Christians who are doubting. You see, again, Jesus said, peace be with you, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave those 11 apostles the Holy Spirit, not just to see what was going on, but to speak about what had happened. And so that's why Thomas is rebuked by Jesus. What's happened is Jesus has appeared to the apostles, but he's also given them his Holy Spirit, the power of God at work. You see, Jesus was going to go back up to heaven. He was going to ascend as king, and he wasn't going to be around any longer. He knew that the way that people would believe in him and receive eternal life was through the words that the apostles would speak and the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, who would always be with God's people when they speak about Jesus. So the reason why Thomas should have believed is because the eyewitnesses, what they saw, they spoke to him about. But they didn't just speak it as other human beings without God's help. They spoke it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual words. It's why John says, if you have a look at verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, that's in his gospel, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. Life in his name. A dead book can't give us eternal life, can it? But the Bible isn't a dead book. It's a book about what people saw. And it's alive because the Holy Spirit uses it to enable people like you and me to believe in Jesus. It's why Thomas should have believed. So what we have here is we have the apostles speaking to Thomas and to people like you and me. But we can believe because the words are spiritual, God's words. Now, I don't know if you remember a few days ago, it was fairly windy, wasn't it? Does anybody remember the wind? It was pretty powerful, wasn't it? Now, could you put your hand up if you saw the wind? Keep your hand up if you saw the wind. That's very strange, but do we not all agree that it was very windy? Did anybody here see the wind? No one can see the wind, but does that mean we don't believe it's real? That we can't see its effects, its power? Trees blown over, slates thrown off roofs. But nobody can see the wind. It's the picture Jesus gave of the Holy Spirit. God in the person of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, but the Spirit. He is so powerful, we can see his effects. He raised Jesus from the dead. Many of us here can say that we have been given new life. You might be sitting next to somebody. The effect of the Spirit's power as that person has read the Bible and believed in Jesus Christ. So can I encourage you this morning, it doesn't matter how skeptical you are or how doubting you may be, how do we believe? We believe through the spiritual words that the apostles have recorded for us. So, boys and girls, here's a question. Thomas believed by what he saw. How do we believe today? Anybody want to give me an idea? How do we believe today? Yeah? Through the words of the Bible. How do we believe today? If we're here, somebody who wants to believe, we really do want to believe, how could it happen? We need to be reading John's Gospel or coming to a course that we run over 7 weeks where people can ask any question whatsoever where we read the Gospel of Mark. It's how people believe the words of the Bible. They're not just old words written in a book, even though they're historical and reliable. They're spiritual words. God uses them. Could any other child say, how is it that we come to believe today? No. Obviously the chocolate, the visible chocolate is not quite enough to encourage. You can come and chat with AJ later. I just want to finish with a testimony. Richard Teo was a successful man. He was a millionaire. He was an aesthetic surgeon. He lived for fast cars, for big houses. He died from cancer in 2012 at the age of 40. This is what he says he learnt towards the end of his life. Everyone knows they're going to die. Every one of us knows that. Don't let society tell you how to live. Don't let the media tell you what you're supposed to live for. I used to live for things. I led this life thinking that these are going to bring me happiness. I hope that you will think about it and decide for yourself how you want to live your own life, because true happiness doesn't come from serving yourself. I thought it did, but it didn't turn out that way. Most importantly, I think true joy comes from knowing God. Not knowing about God. I mean, you can read the Bible and know about God. But knowing God personally, getting into a relationship with God, I think that's the most important thing. You see, if there's one thing we learn from Thomas and his doubts, is that Jesus wanted a relationship with Thomas. He cared about Thomas's doubts. He showed up and dealt with them personally. But Thomas had to say, when Jesus did that, my Lord and my God. Are you prepared this morning to have God deal with your doubts, but then you need to stop living for yourself and start living with Jesus as your Lord and your God? Maybe that's really why we like doubting. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can see all that is necessary for us to believe and receive eternal life in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, the pages of your word. And thank you that we have all that we need to be personally encountering you by the power of your Holy Spirit to have our doubts dealt with. Father, we do pray that each and every one of us here might consider the great gift you've given us in your Son, that we might believe in him as our Lord and God, be forgiven, and have eternal life. Amen.